Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Let me read something to you and then we're going to pray together, because some mountains are getting ready to move today. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray," how do you move a mountain? When you pray, "believe that you receive them and you will have them." This morning you may be facing a financial mountain. You may be facing a mountain of difficulty in your family. That doesn't mean you've done something wrong. That doesn't mean you've sinned or that God has turned his back on you. Mountains are a part of life. You may be facing the worst battle of your life. Doesn't mean that God has turned his back on you for a split second. It just means it's an opportunity for you to believe in your heart and to pray. And we're going to pray over financial mountains today. We're going to pray over physical mountains. If something is blocking your way, our God is mighty to save, and he can move that mountain. Amen. Do you believe that? I want you to think about what's happening in your family right now. I want you to think about the most challenging circumstance in your life, and I want you to put that completely in the hands of God. I want you to turn it completely over to him. And then we're going to say our prayers, and we're going to believe for mountains to move. Now, Father, we just come to you together as a church family. We're praying in the name of Jesus, standing on Mark 11, 22 through 24, where you commanded us, where you encouraged us to have faith. You told us not to doubt. You told us to believe in our hearts, and then you told us to speak to mountains in prayer. And Lord, we speak to the mountain of debt. We speak to the mountain of sickness. Lord, we speak to the mountain of brokenness in our families. We speak to mountains of misunderstanding. We speak to mountains of physical pain and sickness. And we just say, Lord, by your power, may those mountains move in Jesus' name. Not only are you able to do it, but that you will do it, Lord. You will heal, and you will provide, and you will strengthen, and you will make a way, Lord, where there is no way. Father, we call to you from this house of prayer for every person in this church, and we're praying now, your kingdom come and your will be done powerfully in our lives, Lord. And we, using the faith that you have given to us, we receive it now. We say, Lord, it's ours. Our family is healed. The finances will be there. The healing is there. We receive it now by faith, and we are excited to see it come to pass. And we all said hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah to the Lord. He is able to move a mountain.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Well, I'm excited to begin the message this morning. I'm glad you're here. If you're listening in the cafe, I'm waving at you right now. Cafe is a part of this service this morning. Family lounge, people that are here online, excited. I met somebody this morning. They came up to me and they said, "I am in your online church. I am from Pennsylvania. And me and my husband, you are our pastor. And we are listening to you online." I said, well, I didn't know. It's so nice to meet you. Awesome. And yes, I will be your pastor. So it's exciting. Thank God for these cameras and these camera people and all the technical people. We're reaching out to hundreds and hundreds of people that can't even be here in this building. It's a very exciting day to live in. So I'm going to begin a message series this morning that's going to carry us all the way through the prophetic conference on October 11th and 12th. It's called The Other 6 Days. And I want to talk to you. The Lord started to deal with me about a year ago, just at this time of the year, about work, life, family, home, ministry, and balancing everything and really realizing that there's more going on in our lives than Sunday. Sundays is awesome. Sundays is the Lord's Day. We don't want to be cheating God and cutting out on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is important, and there's power and there's grace and there's fellowship and all of that's good. But what about the other 6 days? Is there grace and power for the other 6 days? Is there joy for the other 6 days? Or should we be living a life that's kind of like this? You know, Sunday is awesome and we experience God and we can breathe and we can just get touched and we can get blessed. And then Monday, oh my God, we got to head to work and I hope I can survive. I hope I can make it until next Sunday. Because this is going to be toxic and it's going to be awful and I hate my life and I just wish every day was Sunday. But I'm telling you, God didn't create every day to be Sunday. God wants his glory to fill every single calendar of our day. And Jesus is Lord of all 7 days, not just Sunday. And so we're going to talk about our work life. And we're going to talk about our family life. We're going to talk about that, kind of those big issues and getting God to saturate and immerse us into his life all 7 days of the week. our scripture this morning that I want to point out is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I wonder if we could just read that out loud. I know many of you have seen this verse before, but let's read it strong the first time. I can do all things. One more time. I can do all things through Christ. So in other words, I can win at work. I can win in my family life. I can win in my schooling. Whatever is going on in my life, I can do it. I'm built for more than just shouting hallelujah on Sundays. I can have victory and authority in my life. Now, this is the focus of our Inspire 2014 conference. You've been hearing it announced, and because it's only 20 days away, I want to make sure that I'm in your grill on this, because, you know, we bring these conferences, and then people say, well, when is that conference? It was 2 weeks ago. So I don't want you to miss this. This is our prophetic conference. If you've never received prophetic ministry, this is your time. And you can receive prophetic ministry again. It's free, of course. There's no registration, but you have to register to be included in the call-out rooms. And then we're bringing Dr. Sandy Culkin. Many of you have never met him. He's a phenomenal prophetic businessman. He's as strong a prophet as I've ever met in any area. I mean, he has given us some scary, accurate prophecies as a church, that things that have come true many, many times over and things that are still coming true. But he's a businessman, and he's going to share on Sunday morning and Sunday night. So Saturday is the call-outs and the prophetic ministry. Sunday is the services, worship, and special meetings in the morning, two morning services, and at night. So please register for that. And then also kind of in that same groove, Dr. Pat Gelsinger is going to be here. You heard that announced earlier. Please be here and please bring somebody with you. He's a big deal. He's the president of VMware. That's the fifth largest software company on planet Earth. That's a big deal. And he's an on-fire Christian, and he's a Bay Area resident. And he's leading the charge of pastors and business people throughout the San Francisco Bay Area to come together and unite in a ministry called Transforming the Bay with Christ, TBC. So he's going to talk about TBC, and he's also going to talk to us about work-life balance and the juggling act that we're all in, and help us with this 6 other days series. So my message this morning then is entitled, Seeing God at Work in Your Work Life. Seeing God at Work in Your Work Life. And I want to ask you, just kind of start with a survey. You have a job, you're at the campus, you're at your workplace, whatever. You're out there 6 days a week, 5 days a week. Let me ask you if you see these things in your workplace? Do you see in your workplace stress? Do you ever see that? How many see insecurity? How about anxiety? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much anxiety? Somebody in the first service said 20. How about greed? You see that in the workplace? How about fighting and division, rivalries? Anybody see that? See that in the church sometimes. How about selfishness? How about exhaustion? Anybody dealing with exhaustion in the workplace? People tired and overwhelmed and overcome. How about immorality? Now, if we see, and we could just go on and on about all the things that are happening in the world, but if we see those things and we can actually like point to it and say, that is wrong and that is what's going on and here's where the enemy's working here, if we're able to recognize those things, I wonder why we're not always able to recognize God at work in our workplace. Or is it just that God only works on Sunday, and then when we head off to work, we say goodbye to God and then hope that we can hold it together until the next time we see God? Is God working 7 days a week? And is he working where you work? Is he operating? Because demons are working there. Problems are working there. Stresses are working there. My question for you is God working? Can you see God working in your workplace? My theory is, yes, he is working in your workplace, but if you can't see him, then your view of work is going to be very different than if it is when you can see his hand working. This last year, Kathy and I had the pleasure twice now. First in September, well, actually it was last December, when Liam was born, and then here, Chloe was born in August. And so we're two times grandparents, we're the real deal, you know, you can't touch this. I mean, we're not novices, we're not freshmen, and we're all the way in. We're grandparents, that's it. And we know all about it now, so, and it's awesome. But Liam now, he's about 9 months old, and we're now to the point with him that we can have fun playing peekaboo. How many have ever played peekaboo with a kid? Peekaboo! You know, and of course, you know, a child thinks it's hysterically funny when suddenly you magically appear, right? You magically appear in their face. That's because their brains have not developed what psychologists call object permanence. Object permanence is a function in your brain where you're able to understand that when you can't see Daddy's face or Poppy's face, that Poppy is still there. Object permanence. When you don't have object permanence, you think, well, if I can't see it, then he's not there. And so, oh, but there I see him, so there he's there. And I think a lot of us have like underdeveloped spiritual lives. We're like spiritual children the other 6 days of the week. Because we don't see God in our workplace. We see him in church. We hear the Bibles. We see the crosses, all of that. Oh, God is everywhere. Woo, I feel God in this place. But when we go to work and we're dealing with problems, it's like, God, I don't see you, so therefore you're not here. So I hope I see you soon. The truth is, God is here. And he's everywhere you go. You cannot go anywhere where God already isn't there. One of the attributes of God is omnipresence. That means he's everywhere. There is nowhere where God is not. Now, there are some places that he is recognized and felt stronger than other places. But I want to make a promise to you. Wherever you work, whatever kind of a situation, maybe your company's doing great, or maybe it's a mess. Maybe it's just like, oh my God, I can't wait to get out of here. But God is there. And what we need to learn is how to see him and recognize him and believe in object permanence, that even if we can't see him, that he is there and he wants to work. Amen? Yes. A simple way for you to understand this message is God cares about us. He cares about us and he wants to move in our work life. Now, you're feeling that today. You're feeling God's love and his care because you're in his presence and you're with believers. But when you head out and you head to work tomorrow, you head to your campus tomorrow, whatever it is, you're surrounded in a totally different setting. And I want you to keep something really alive in your heart. God cares about you. And he wants to work right where you are. And this is revealed to us beautifully in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And I want to just talk to you from this very prophetic passage and then draw some analogies about us and our work life with what was happening in the children of Israel. Many of you realize and remember that the children of Israel, according to God's warnings, they had sinned and sinned and sinned. They were given over to idols again and again and again. And God said, if you keep worshiping these idols, I'm going to send a foreign nation. He said, I'm going to send ISIS after you guys. Hey, don't think that terrorism is something new that just started a couple of months ago, a couple of years ago. Crazy stuff like that has been happening all through history. There's always been devils. And so God says, children of Israel, you're there, you're tucked in, you're nice at home, you got your temple, you got your houses, you got your little creeks and your wells, and you got your vineyards and all of that. I'm going to send an army. If you don't stop worshiping idols, you're going to be overrun, but I'm going to teach you a lesson and I'll bring you back. I will bring you back because I'm greater than ISIS, I'm greater than the Babylonians, I'm greater than the Assyrians. I will bring you back after you've learned your lesson and you'll dwell in the land again. Well, Ezekiel, and that happened. They came, they drug the children of Israel off, backslidden nation that they were, weren't paying attention to God, and dragged them off to a foreign land. I mean, captives in Babylon. And Ezekiel was a prophet at that time. He was a priest. And the Lord started giving him prophetic words. But he's not a prophet in Jerusalem. He's a prophet in a faraway land. And it's kind of like the scene I wanted to paint for you is kind of like work sometimes feels like a foreign land to us. It's like we're somewhere where this isn't our culture. These aren't our people. They're playing by a whole different set of rules. This feels like the Babylonians, man. This feels like these guys are everywhere and I'm in the minority. And how do I just need to, I'll tell you what I need to do. I need to quit my job and go into full-time ministry so I can be in church 7 days a week so I can survive spiritually. But here's the message that God gives to Ezekiel for the children of Israel. And I want you to pay attention to this as we read it. I'll read it to you off the screen. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, I don't think this is that the first verse? Is that slide number one of all the, it is? Okay. And said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered and said, O Lord God, you know. We'll keep going. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. It continues. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain so that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, say to these captive people that have been drug off into a foreign land, say this to them, this dry house of Israel, say to them, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves, and I will bring you in back into the land of Israel. Then they shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. O my people, I have brought you up from your graves, and I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord. This is an amazing passage, but I want to kind of frame this in this way: how God will work in our everyday life, or how God will work in our work lives, okay? How God moves in our work life. Number one, he reveals our brokenness. Now, what was the picture that God showed to Ezekiel? He shows Ezekiel a vision of a valley of endless dry bones, millions of bones, just a grotesque, gruesome picture. And I mean, it's like, you know, you're Ezekiel, right? And the Lord says, hey, I want to talk to you. I want to show you something really prophetic. And Ezekiel says, right on, God, show me. And the Lord shows him a valley of dry bones. And Ezekiel's like, Lord, how about unicorns or rainbows or flowers? How about a picture of rainbows and clouds and flowers? And God is showing him this death. Something so awful. Nothing but death as far as the eye can see. And he walks him back and forth in that valley. He makes him see the whole thing. And he shows him this incredible sight. And I think this reminds us of what we're looking at this week in the workplace. We go to our workplace and we see all the stress and we see all the anger and we see all the fights and we see the competition and it just feels like death sometimes. It feels gross. It feels terrible. The immorality, the greed, the rivalries, the deceit. And we say, Lord, why can't it be rainbows and flowers? Why can't my work life be filled with gracious and wonderful things? Why do I have to look at all this gross stuff? I'm surrounded by it. It's like I'm in a foreign land. And I really believe that's a significant question. And here's what I think is the answer. God wants us to see the brokenness of our world. He wants us to totally absorb the brokenness of our world so that we can begin to look for his miracle power. Now, God is not a God that's going to, you know, call something that's dead alive. When you look at bones, God says, you see what I'm seeing? And Ezekiel says, yeah. He says, what do you see? That's dead. That is corruption, man. That is a problem. Here, the children of Israel, they were brought up into this foreign land. And it feels completely different. I mean, they are dead as a nation. They're away from their temple. They're away from everything. Their family structures, family members have been separated. I mean, it's terrible. And yet God is saying to them, something can live in the midst of that. Hallelujah. And I'm saying to you, in your work life, if the children of Israel can find life in the midst of a valley of dry bones, you can find life on the campus of Cisco or San Jose State or wherever you're going to school or working or whatever it is. Whatever is going on in your life, it may look like dry bones to you, and you may have to look right at it and say, man, this is not God. This doesn't smell like God. This doesn't look like God. This is nothing like what I know. But we look right at it so that it becomes a backdrop for what God can do and wants to do. He wants us to see the brokenness of the world. And I struggle with it sometimes. When I turn on television and there's a show on human trafficking, or I turn on television and ISIS is there, or I turn on television, it's like, oh my God, can't I just watch, you know, like The Office or something? I just want to get away from the death and the destruction and all that. But I think it's good for us to look right at it and say, this is what's happening in our world. And I live in this world, and this is what's happening in Santa Clara County. And there is trafficking. And there is prostitution. And there are people beating their children. And there are people that are racist. And it is happening. And we have to look at it. And it's scary and it's foreign. And God walks us through our work world and he says, take a look at it. Because he's going somewhere with it. He didn't cause the death. And he's not telling us that's the way it's always going to be. But he says, I don't want you to be afraid of how dead it is. People are talking a lot about ISIS now. Everybody's freaking out about ISIS. You know that God is greater than ISIS? Everybody's talking about Ebola. Do you know that God is greater than Ebola? The economy, you can name 1,000 things that are crazy wrong, scary, deadly, awful wrong with our world right now. But I want to tell you, none of it is greater than God. And here's what the scripture says. Romans 5:20, the Voice translation says, when the law came into the picture, sin grew and grew, but wherever sin grew and spread, look how it works. It's awful. Sin is terrible. But wherever sin grew and spread, God's grace was there in what? Fuller, greater measure. The King James Version said, where sin abounds, grace doth so much more abound. No matter how much sin crept in, there was always more grace. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, however ugly it is, and God wants you to look at the ugly and take it in, because then he says, what I'm doing is all so much more powerful and greater. Wherever there is sin, my grace is able to cover the whole thing. He can certainly change your attitude about your work life. He can certainly help you live like a child of the King 7 days a week. Doesn't matter what a tyrant your boss is. Maybe your boss works for ISIS. I don't know. But you can thrive and prosper, because greater is he that is in you, and grace is greater than sin. And it doesn't matter how crazy your campus or crazy your neighborhood or crazy your country gets, grace is still stronger. Hallelujah. You're always a conqueror through him who loves you. So he wants us to see the brokenness, so it becomes a backdrop for what he's going to do and for how gracious he's going to work. We're looking at this terrible thing in Iraq, and people are fleeing for their lives, and Christians are being killed. But I'm saying, Lord, I believe grace is going to abound in that place. I don't believe it's going to end with just people dying and martyrs and all of that, because the blood of martyrs has always been the seed of revival in the church. And so I'm not stuck on ISIS. I'm saying, Lord, bring revival to Iraq. Lord, let revival break out in the Middle East. Now, I'm serious. I'm not denigrating those things. I'm not downplaying it, and I'm not in denial. I'm just saying there's got to be something greater than ISIS and Ebola and death and we got to get, if we've lost it, if all we see is the valley of dry bones, man, we're in trouble. We've got to see eventually that thing's going to be an army rising. Eventually there's going to be life in those moments. So there you are, you're at work, and you see the death, and you're face to face with it, and you know, hey, God can change my work life. He can make me happy at work. Things can change in my career and in my life and in my world, that the death and brokenness around me is not greater than Jesus. After all, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, Christ Jesus has broken the power of death. I said, he has broken the power of death. That's your Savior. That's your Lord, Jesus Christ. Broke death and brought what? Life. Now, how many of you, that's real, that's happened in your life? He broke death, 3 of you? Wow, that's inspiring. Hey, how many of you are saved? Jesus Christ broke the power of death and he brought life. Okay, if he did that for you, then maybe there's a chance for your career. Maybe if he could do that for your whole life, maybe he could touch your marriage. That's all I'm saying. The problem looks big, but God is bigger. And this is what he does. The testimony of every Christian is, I was dead, and now I'm alive. I was dead in trespasses and sin, and Christ has quickened me and made me alive together with him. I'm forgiven. I'm a brand new creation. So, but then right away we say, well that just works on Sunday. Now I got to take my Jesus hat off. I take my happy hat off and put my sad hat on, because I'm heading off into work, and now it's a different world. Now I'm in Babylon. This is ISIS land. And it's a whole different set of rules, and I gotta be cutthroat, and I gotta be unhappy, and I just hope that I can make it till next Sunday. That is not the way God has called you to live. If you're not happy at work, you're not gonna be happy anywhere. Can I tell you this? You need to look right at the death and the bones and the devastation and the dryness, and you need to figure out how to get happy right there. Amen. How to believe God for a miracle right there. So, well, hey, forget it. I'm going to go into the ministry so I can be happy. Let me save you a couple of steps. If you're not happy in the work world, you're not going to be happy in the ministry world. Get happy where you are. Believe God where you are. Make your faith work right where you are. And don't get under that Babylonian thing, but realize God is able to do something in your life right there. Now, I have to move quickly. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to finish this message. I have to draw on my many superpowers right now to be able to finish this message. If I go long, well, never mind. Let me just stop wasting time. Notice that he asks Ezekiel a question. Now, here, this is a very important question. He says, "Son of man, can these dry bones live? Can these dry bones live?" Here's a key for our work lives. God requires faith before he will bring life out of death. He shows him the death. Listen carefully. He said, "I want you to look right at these bones. You got it? Yep. How do they look to you? Pretty dead. Yep, they're super dead. Okay, now here's the question. Do you believe, do you have faith that this can change?" So God doesn't call something that's dead alive. He said, "That's dead. But do you believe that I can make it live? Do you believe that a nation ripped up from its homeland and carried off as captives, do you believe a nation like that can live?" And Ezekiel says the politically correct answer, "Oh Lord, you know." Because he's thinking, "I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, we're super dead, Lord. As a nation, we're dead. We're not going to make it." But God is pressing Ezekiel. Now, in the same way he wants to press you, do you believe your marriage can live? Do you believe your ministry can live? You're looking right at it. It's dead. Do you believe your career can live? Doesn't matter how bad it looks. You've got to believe, because before God can do the miracle of bringing life, you have to believe. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. When God walks me through the valley of bones and he shows me the bones, and then he tells me, "What do you think?" Then I start complaining. That's my go-to. "Lord, this is a lot of death." But can I tell you something? Our complaints about our work world or our marriage world or our ministry world, no complaint ever changed anything. God did not say, "Son of man, would you like to share with me all of your complaints about life in Babylon?" He never said that. He said, "I want to know one thing from you. I don't want to hear your complaints. I want to know one thing. Do you believe it can change?" Because nobody who complains has ever changed anything. You say, "Well, that's my ministry. That's my specialty. I have a gift at noticing problems and pointing them out so that other people can fix them. That's my calling. That's what I do all day." No, that's not prophetic. It's pathetic. It doesn't take any special talent to notice a problem. I'm sorry. That's not a superpower. It's not a virtue to be able to go into a church or go into a workplace or go into a campus or go into a ministry or whatever and just start pointing out what's wrong. That doesn't make you clever. That doesn't make you useful, and it will not change the environment. Are you listening to me? What will change an environment is if you ever get inside of you, "This can change by God's power." And I don't just see dead bones. I see an army rising up. I see something coming together in this job, in this ministry, in this city, in this nation. I see God's purpose. I'm looking at death, but I see God's purpose. And when you get that, you are ready to rock and roll. You are ready to move into a whole new kind of life. This is why God shows you the death, not so that you can complain. but so that you can be overwhelmed and realize only God can fix this, but God can fix it, and it's going to change. I'll never forget when Kathy and I, we were missionaries going to the Philippine Islands, and my son Aaron was 3 years old, my son Jordan was 3 months old, we were a young family, and we had, you know, dreams and excitement, and I mean, we weren't novices, but we had never been missionaries before. We had served our church for years in ministry, so we'd seen some things. But I tell you, when we got to the mission field and we started hearing the complaints and the negativity of the nationals against the missionaries and the missionaries against the nationals against the government and the everybody was turning on everybody. It was like chaos. It was like, please, God, just kill me now. This is so much negativity. There was fighting, and everybody was complaining, and there were groups and factions and divisions and people turning against each other and people bad-mouthing and gossiping and backstabbing. It was like, and when you have all of that going on, plus like 109 degrees temperature at about 95% humidity, it's like, it's time to turn on some praise and worship music. And that's how we got through it. We turned on praise and worship music, and it was like the presence of God was just keeping us alive because the atmosphere was so toxic. I'm talking about a mission field. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you can't find God on a mission field, if all you're going to find is toxic Christians fighting and struggling, it was like hell, emotionally and spiritually. This will creep into your life. The more you complain, the more you notice problems, the more you fixate on what he's doing wrong and what she's doing wrong and what they're doing wrong and nobody's doing this and that's your world. God is not showing you the death so you can point out all the problems. Even a paradise can turn to hell quickly. Somebody has to stand up and believe for their workplace. Hallelujah. That God wants to do something for their marriage, for their family life, for their neighborhood. We got to believe for this country. Yes. I can't take it anymore. The people fighting against each other, red and blue, and everybody's against everybody else, and the rich and the poor. Somebody needs to raise up a vision and a prayer and a faith that our country is going to live. Now it's like, oh my God, hide in your house and buy guns because ISIS is coming. Jesus, have mercy. Somebody get some faith now. I'm not minimizing the problems in our world. I'm not burying my head in the sand. I'm looking right at it. I see it. But I see something more. I don't just see the dead bones. I see what God is going to raise up out of it. I have to hurry. I'm out of time. Are you getting anything out of this message? So he shows us the death. That's number one. Number two. Oh, my Lord. Can you believe this? Number two. He raises us in power. He raises us in power. He doesn't leave us with the dead bones. He starts to give us vision, and he starts to lift us up. Look at Ezekiel 1:28. He fell on his face. He said, I heard the voice of one speaking. He said to me, son of man, stand on your feet. Everybody say, stand on your feet. And I'll speak to you. This happened again and again in Ezekiel's. Now, when God starts to show you something, you're going to end up face down. When you see the death and you see the bones and you see all this, it's like, oh my God, you know. You go face down. You're overwhelmed. Ezekiel was overwhelmed. He goes face down. And what does the Lord say? Get up on your feet. And let me talk to you. And then the Spirit entered, and then he set me on my feet. That's chapter one. Happens again in chapter three. Look at this. Chapter 3, the Lord shows him more stuff. He says, then I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me and what? Set me on my feet and spoke to me. What God wants to do for you in your workplace is what he did for Ezekiel in Babylon. You're overwhelmed. Ezekiel is overwhelmed. You're face first. Your face planted in the ground. You're like, my God, this is terrible. I got to get out of here. I got to find a new job. I got to find a new career. I got to get out. I got to get away from these crazy people. And God says, get off your face. Get up on your feet. I'm going to talk to you. Some of you are not on your feet. Some of you in ministry are not on your feet. You've given up. You're just cruising. You're just coasting. You're not in your purpose. You're not on your feet. You're just kind of overwhelmed. And God is saying to you, get on your feet today. Stand up. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to show you how this is going to change. Now listen to me. I'm prophesying to you. I'm not going to point at you. You're so overwhelmed on your face. And God is saying, get up. Now let's get this. Let's do this because I'm going to speak to you. And so God doesn't just show you the overwhelming stuff, the bones. He gets you up on your feet. And let's put it this way. The Spirit of God wants to raise you up in your work life. I'm not talking just about ministry only. I'm talking about in your career. You're saying, I got to get out of here. This is death. I'm not making it. And God might be saying, Lord, give me another job. Give me another job. Why isn't another door opening? I got to get out of here. And God isn't showing you another door. What he's saying to you is get up on your feet. Get off your face. You're better than this. I don't need you on your face. I need you standing. I need you to stand in your workplace. I need you to believe me in your workplace. I'm not going to deliver you until this is done. You're in captivity, yes, get on your feet. Because your time of power is not over and God is going to do so. So he raises us up, and this continues then in Ezekiel 37 where we were reading. Look at verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them. This is the army, and they lived, and they, what? Stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. In other words, when we get on our feet, our world gets on its feet. When we get on our feet, that's when everything starts to change. God has to get you on your feet so he can show you something greater than what is happening in your life beginning to take place. God will lead you. Now listen, the Spirit of God wants to use you to speak life to your workplace. He says, son of man, prophesy, speak to this. And he didn't say, now Ezekiel, watch this. When I speak, watch what's going to happen to the valley of dry bones. He says, I want you to speak. You prophesy. Me? Yeah. You start talking to the death around you and watch, it starts to live. God wants you to speak life over your workplace. Cut the complaints, cut the observations, and start speaking life. Start speaking life over your children. Oh, my son, he's lazy. He doesn't do anything right. He's got such a terrible attitude. My kid, what a disaster. Oh, my God. No, start speaking life. Start prophesying. Start declaring and watch something get up on its feet. We need to believe for something great in our workplace. We need to believe for something great in our marriages. We need to believe for something great in our world. And Christ can do it. Last scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. Worship team is coming. Wherever you guys are, come on out. And don't be shy. I'm way over time. But they understand. It's okay. They still love me. Ephesians 2, 5 and 7. Even when we were, what? Dead in trespasses. He made us, what? Alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And what? And, you've been raised up together with Christ. He's putting you up on your feet. Life has knocked you on your bottom. Life has put you face down in the muck and the mire and the bones and the death. And God is saying, all right, you see it, you smell it, you feel it. It's pretty dead, right? Now he says, now get on your feet and watch me work. And I want you to do this. We're coming to the end of the service. We're going to have prayer and have a little worship time. But instead of me just saying, everybody stand to your feet, I want this to be a moment for you. But you could just say, you know what? I am going to get on my feet. I'm going back at it. I'm going to pull myself together. I'm going to face Babylon, knowing that as bad as it gets, it isn't as strong as God's grace. No matter how bad the death is, no matter whatever's going on out there, I'm actually going to believe for my campus, my family, my world, my business to actually change and to be a part of touching the world and being light for God. So I want to say this to you as I invite you to stand to your feet. Let it be the word of the Lord saying to you, stand to your feet. Just do that now and just say, all right, I'm up on my feet. I'm coming. Just stand to your feet. And I want us to take a few minutes and just surrender our lives to Christ. Now in a few minutes, the altar team's gonna come. We'll be done in the service in about 5 minutes. And please, the Holy Spirit wants to move right now. And I want us to spend a few minutes just soaking in some faith and some resolve in His presence. Let's turn our lives completely over to Jesus. Let's welcome God into our work life. Let's welcome Christ into our heart, back into our, let's get rid of the discouragement and the fear. And let's get back to grace and faith again. Let's get up on our feet. Come on, Pastor Nicole, let's sing that song. Let's worship together, church. Now bow your heads, just right where you are. Just bow your heads. Lord, I pray for your people, Lord, that have been face down, discouraged, just felt like captives in a strange place. Because they're held captives by marriage problems, work problems, physical problems. And Lord, today you're asking us a simple question. Do you believe these dead bones can live? And Lord, if we were totally honest, we'd have to say we have some doubts on the inside. But we desperately, Lord, want to lay hold on the kind of faith that says, yes, Lord, we believe this can change, Lord. And Father, as we say yes, just by faith, Lord, yes, our work life can change. We can be happy again in our home. We can be healed again in our lives. We can be filled again with purpose. We can get off of our face and we can get onto our feet in life again. Lord, I pray that you would raise us up as a mighty army, Lord, and you would join us together. Let things begin to connect again. Let life begin to grow again, ligaments and skin. Lord, raise up your purpose in our lives, in our families, in our churches, Lord. Lord, we believe you. We ask, Lord, that grace would abound wherever our failure in sin has abounded, Lord. And as dark as this world gets, we will never forget, Jesus, that you overcame everything, that you have won the victory, Lord. And that you are able to bless us in the worst of places, Lord. Lord, I pray for miracles to begin to flow in our lives, in our marriages, and especially our work life. Lord, transform our whole lives 7 days a week. Immerse us, Lord. Immerse us in your miracles. Immerse us 7 days a week in your power, Lord. Flood us and fill us, I pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, I believe something's happening in this room. I want to just ask a few of the elders and some of the prayer team members just to come and just be here. We're going to put a prayer on the screen, and this is how we're going to close the service today. I beg you, if you have never opened your heart to Christ, if there's any doubt in your mind that you're saved, I beg you, open your heart to Christ. He is able to take your death and turn it into life. Turn your heart over to Him. And I challenge you in the name of Jesus to expect great things in your work life in the other 6 days. Believe God for great things. Let's say a prayer together. It's on the screen. Whatever's happening in your world, wherever you're coming from, this is your prayer. Let's say it out loud together. Father God, thank you for revealing your power in my work life. I believe that you are revealing your glory in the midst of my brokenness. Lord Jesus, today I choose to trust you completely in every area of my life. Fill me with the saving, resurrecting power of Jesus. In the name of Christ, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen, you see our prayer team members here, they know how to pray. If you're in the cafe, you need prayer, come on here and join these folks. They'll help you, they'll talk to you. Don't forget to sign up for the conference. It's only 20 days away. For real, man, don't miss this. This is gonna be a great time. I love you, God bless you, you're dismissed.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.